Okay. I'll pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning, and I pray that as I stand here, as I empty myself, you will fill me, that everything that I say would not be of me, but of you. Less of me, more of you. Amen. Right, I'm supposed to be speaking on Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 22, which is, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. It's not very easy to talk about this verse in isolation, so I thought I'd start by giving a quick introduction so that we can put it in context. I'll break it up into three bits. The first bit is who we were and who God is. We as a people, I've just summarized Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 4, is that we as a people, we're full of ourselves, and we lived in disobedience according to our natural desires. We did whatever suited us and followed the wishes of our own bodies and minds. In our natural conditions, we, like everyone else, were destined to suffer God's anger. We were Gentiles by birth, separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenant of the promises, without hope and without God in our world. But God, who is rich in mercy because of the abundant love with which he loves us, even when we're dead in disobedience, made us alive together with Christ Jesus. His grace and mercy are at work to bring us unto himself. That brings John 3:16 to mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. What Christ did for us. For Christ himself has brought us peace by making Jews and Gentiles one people. By dying on the cross, he broke down the walls that separated us from God. The great divide you healed. Wasn't that song? He just said it all. So that cross came, that wall came down. The wall that separated us from God. Now, who are we? Who are we now? And that's where verses 19 to 22 come in. We are the body of Christ, and we're encouraged in these four verses, 19 to 22, that we're not enemies of God anymore. In fact, we are not just forgiven, but we are brought onto himself. I mean, I don't know how many times I tell my children, okay, I've forgiven you, and I'm still not smiling, or they're still grounded, and they have to earn it. You know, they really have to earn whatever they want. And that is because I'm not God. We have reconciliation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are now members of God's family. We are not foreigners. That's funny that I'm doing this, because I see myself as a foreigner with a British passport. I would liken this, we are not foreigners, to, you know, like it's like when you need to travel, you need a visa to travel to another country. Maybe for a holiday, that's not too bad. But if you want to go and live there, you have to go through all sort of hoops and loops. And, you know, you have to provide all sorts of evidence and you need referees and then Your Majesty's immigration or consular department in whichever country I would think about it and yes, maybe, perhaps, you may get a visa to visit. And if you want to live there, you may get it. But mind you are not a national. You have leave to remain. That's not what God is talking about. That's not what the Bible is saying. And then you go and live in the country, and in spite of the cold or the heat, you decide, actually, I like it here. I want to be a citizen of this country. And then you're told you have to renounce your own birth country. And you think, yes, first, maybe. And I've just spoken about just getting a visa to visit, how tough it is. Can you imagine how tough it is to get a visa to naturalize and become a citizen? Well, if you're fortunate to get a visa to go and live in this place, you know, beyond live to remain, don't take it for granted that you're a citizen for life, because if you did certain things, your citizenship would be stripped off you. You would have to go back. It would be revoked. Now, let's compare this to the kingdom of heaven. Let's compare this to being a citizen of God's kingdom. Verse 19 to 20 is even more wonderful, because you not only become a citizen of God's kingdom, you, my dear brothers and sisters, become children. You don't just get a British passport to live here. You move into Buckingham Palace. You have tea with dear Liz and Philip. And, you know, that's pretty awesome, as John would say. This is beyond. It's even better than living in Buckingham Palace. You become joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't only have a leave to remain. You suddenly are catapulted from wherever you were, whatever sin you committed, however much you didn't believe, you become a citizen of God's kingdom. And then you're told that you're a child of God. You are joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God himself, who came down and died to save us. So he's not only our Father God, who came in a human form. He is our brother as well as our Savior. Hey. And if this is true, why are we still living like servants and eating out of the pig's trough? Let's read some scripture about us being joint heirs. We are joint heirs. Romans 8:17. Now, if you are children, that we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. And Galatians 3:19 says, if you belong to Christ, which I believe you do, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. Ephesians 3:6 says, this mystery, and it is a mystery, we won't understand it. In Corinthians, it says, he will open our eyes to the mysteries of his word. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and share together the promise of Jesus. Let's take a moment to think about it. Let's just see ourselves as princes and princesses of kingdom. We have everything on tap. His abundant love. Let's compare it to the earthly princes and princesses. They walk on air and they think they're it. But they still get bothered and upset. We have got the King of all kings, creator of the universe, calling us his children. He's got a crown for each of us. Why are we not riding on the horse like princes and princesses? Why are the horses riding us? Why are we carrying the horses on our back? There's only one requirement to receive God's kingdom citizenship. Only one requirement. You don't need a reference. You don't need a sponsor. You don't need qualification of any sort. And that requirement is to accept Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. It doesn't take weeks. It doesn't take months. We don't have to pay. And yet, I mean, this is instant, immediately, the minute we accept him as our Lord and personal Savior, we get the ultimate citizenship. Same day result. And it's up to us to see that we are princesses and princes, that we are children of God, that we don't need to fill forms to get a visa into his kingdom. He has made it possible for us to become brothers and sisters because our Lord Jesus Christ made peace through the cross. Our Lord Jesus put to death hostilities between not just Jews and Gentiles, but also between God and mankind. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross has given us endless benefits, incredible benefits. Has made us royalties, generously bound our hearts together to form a family. They fall out in the royal family, you know. And they don't speak and all sorts of things. Because they do not have that invisible cord that binds our hearts together as children of God. He has generously bound our hearts together to form a family with freedom, freedom in Jesus, freedom from death, division, hostilities, and the law. We live under grace, not law. We are God's children. We are heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. Freedom of access to the King of all kings, who has asked us to call him Abba, Father, in whatever situation we're in. It doesn't matter what we're doing, what we're going through. You can't just get up and go to Buckingham Palace and say, I want to speak to Queen Elizabeth. You can't even go to your head teacher or your line manager. You can't just walk in. But this is the King of all kings. Jehovah God, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. And he says, the door to my throne room is open. You're my children. When I want to go and talk to my father, I don't need permission. I just go. I just go freely. It doesn't matter what I've done. It doesn't matter how dirty I feel or disappointed I am in me or what other people think about me. The one place I can run to is my father. And where is he? He's dead. How much more Almighty God, who doesn't die, who lives forever, who gives us life. And he says, come, come. The door is open. You are my children. You are my royal babies. You are brothers and sisters to our Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, let's not shortchange ourselves. And it's not because of lack of humility. There's a place for humility. But let's be proud that we are children of God. Let's stop suffering the heartache, the burdens. Why are we carrying the suitcase when we have been given a lift to sit in the car? Let's lay it down. I do it. I don't know about you, but I'm speaking to myself too. I'm a princess. So are you, and you're a princess too. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can be at peace with God and one another. We have brothers and sisters in faith all over the world and even in heaven. I believe he also wants us to live like we know we are family. We are family. I was born in Accra. You were born in England, but you're my sister because we share God. And our Lord Jesus Christ died for all of us. So I can't sit in Southbrook and feel lonesome because I've got brothers and sisters everywhere and here. I believe he also wants us to know that we're family with believers all over the world, not just the people we know and like, not just the people in our house group or in our church. We belong together in a seamless household of faith. No boundaries. We are blood relatives with all other believers because of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his sacrifice, we have family from Gaeta to Kampala, in Cape Town, Munich, Geneva, Sudan, Peru, Iraq, Afghanistan, Tonbridge, Ealing, Bristol, all over the world. As Chris said last week, we must encourage each other, celebrate each other, and gently bring our broken brothers and sisters into the fold. It is so much easier to do that when we see each other as family, because we don't want to hurt our family. The world says differently, but we don't belong to the world. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. None of us is an illegal immigrant, foreigner, or a visitor. We are all one in Christ Jesus, our Savior. So let us, with confidence, take each other's hand as brethren and look to our Father, the King, in unity and in confidence. We have a mission as a family, so let's get on with it. Let's do it. Let's do it. We have one common goal. We have been born into this family, and we have one common goal. Let's talk to each other. Let's find out. Let's do kingdom work as princes with integrity. Not pride, but standing up tall and knowing that he equips us to do what he wants us to do. We are princes and princesses and heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to conclude with, we are a part of God's great rescue plan for humanity. We are charged to bring peace, work for justice, and to point people to the Savior of the world, Jesus the Messiah. Through us, along with the rest of our family members all over the world, even in Syria, Iran, Iraq, Sierra Leone, Ghana, everywhere. With the rest of our family from all these other places, God's rescue plan will be fulfilled. One day, all things in heaven and all things on earth will find unity in Christ Jesus. And when this happens, we will be present to witness it and give God the praise and honor for bringing it to pass. So if there's anybody here who think they have got to fill forms and jump through hoops to get kingdom citizenship, please, this is the time. Get to know our Lord Jesus Christ, invite him in, and become a prince or a princess. To God be the glory, the power and honor, now and forevermore. Amen.